D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We will soon be joined by Predators GM Barry Trotz, and when he does join us, he's calling right now. He will be presented by Green Ventures Landscaping and Gary Force. Acura, the Predators are back in action tonight against the Anaheim Ducks, their final back-to-back of the regular season. Puck drop at 9, pregame at 8, right here on 102.5 The Game. Yet another big one for the Predators. They lost in a shootout 3-2 to the Kings last night. So let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators GM Barry Trotz. Hi, Barry. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for joining us, as always. So the Predators have 5 of 6 points so far on this road trip out west. Another big one tonight against the Ducks. What have you liked about the team's play so far on this trip? And what are some areas of improvement that you'd like to see as the playoff race comes down to the wire?
Well, I think just the resiliency. I mean, it was, you know, a good example is last night. That was one hell of a hockey game. That was a playoff hockey game. It was a, you know, discipline. Both teams were really going at it. I just like our compete level, our focus, our preparation. I like the fact that.
Did we lose Barry? There he is.
Hello?
Sorry, I thought I lost you for a second. Please continue.
Yeah. I just think everybody is all in. And, you know, right now we're getting, you know, good goaltending. Our defense, you know, is banged up a little bit, is continuing to step up and play well. Our discipline is good. And I just think that, you know, the guys that are relied on to carry our team are doing that. And the young guys who are getting, you know, are under fire, you know, learning under fire at the highest level, are doing a great job. So, coaches are doing a good job. So I just like the fact that, you know, we're going into playoff style games, the last three, obviously two with LA and San Jose, and they've been intense. Playoff hockey, which is just a great, great thing to be a part of this time of year.
Steven Stamkos scored his 39th goal of the season on the power play to tie the game in the second period last night against the Kings. He's on the verge of his 8th career 40-goal season. Barry, had someone told you on November 24th, when Stamkos had 4 goals in 22 games, that he could hit 40 by the end of the season, what would you have said?
I would say that'd be a stretch, but knowing the career of Steven Stamkos and the ability to score goals, I would have said with a caveat that if he got hot, he could do it.
I do want to ask you about something around the NHL. You would know this better than anyone, considering your long and successful coaching career. Coaches in the NHL, oftentimes, their tenures are short. You know that. But how surprised are you that two teams, the Golden Knights and the Islanders, in the past week, have fired their coaches this late in the season when both of those teams, I believe, at the time of the change, were in playoff spots?
It is a... I would say it's an anomaly. You haven't seen that in the past very often. I think there's probably one-offs over the course of time. But I think it's just the parity. It's the pressure of, you know, the teams, the organizations have of getting into the playoffs, ownership, fan bases, all the above. And, you know, with the salaries going up and the evaluations of the teams, there's a lot more pressures within the organizations to be successful and to make the playoffs and to be there. And you know, every team has their own expectations and every team has their own path.
Barry Trotz is with us, and Barry, it's been so intense watching these games to start this road trip here. And like you said last night, that had all the tension throughout. It was tight all the way through. Both teams had those great chances. I'm curious, in your mind, as you've watched Andrew Burnett go through this whole journey this year with this group and readjusting after the trade deadline the way they have. How would you evaluate Andrew Burnett and the coaching staff's performance here?
I think they've done a great job. It was funny, we got a little bit of a, not a day off, but, you know, obviously we played last night and we played tonight. But, you know, we just didn't go to the rink. And you saw the interaction of the players and the coaches. I mean, that is a tightly knit group. I think the coaches, after a, you know, the 6-12 and two start, you would probably say that there, you know, where we are right now has been a little bit of a miracle. But at the same time, it's not a miracle because I really believe that the coaches adjusted, the coaches and the players. I always felt that there was a partnership, and I see it on a daily basis, which, you know, we get in my position, and, you know, you're traveling with the team, and Willie, you see it as well when you're traveling. This group is tied together. They're connected at the hip. They want success together, and they enjoy being a group, and they're trying to do something that a lot of people didn't expect, especially after the first 20 games. And, you know, the doubters, there's a lot of doubt about our club, you know, where we are and what we're trying to accomplish. But you see it's starting to come together with the young guys playing and developing under fire, the older guys performing and doing what they do in terms of their leadership and their cultural pieces that they add to our organization. It's you know, it's what we envisioned. It was the transition that we felt we had to make if we're going to, you know, build this team and this new core and still be competitive. And it's a fun time right now to be playing important games. And I don't know how this is going to end. Hopefully we can get to where we wanted to get to in the playoffs, but it's been exactly what you want from an organization standpoint of young players and old players becoming connected. And, you know, that was the goal when we all set out.
There were five rookies in the lineup last night for the Predators. And I'm just really curious. You've mentioned that's a really high number for any team, but just an example of what you're talking about. Let's just take, you know, Matt Wood, who is playing at, he's 21. There are times that you can see the other team on the road, especially saying, let's test Matt Wood. Let's put an Anjay Kopitar out there and see if he can handle a veteran like that. So you put these guys into stressful situations. How much better is that for their development as opposed to maybe on a team where you're playing five rookies, but your team may be completely out of it and the games don't quite have that same level of intensity?
Yeah, it's way different. I mean, there's two times last night, be it icing calls or, obviously they had the last change. We actually had, for the most part, I would consider five Milwaukee Admirals on the ice. We had the Ufko and Willsby on the back end, and we had Svechkov with Schaefer and Kemmel, and the LA Kings countered with Drew Doughty and I think Dumoulin on the back end, or Clark, and then they had Panarin and Kopitar and Kempe, which is as good a line as there is in the National Hockey League, and they're lining up basically against a lot of guys that, you know, at the start of this year were, you know, Milwaukee Admirals at certain points. So it's a stress test for our young guys, but what a great way to develop in stressful situations. I mean, they're learning on the fly and they're doing a great job. And I sometimes you feel like you're over your skis and, you know, underwater a little bit, but at the same time, you learn to handle those stressful situations and come out as a better player, as a better team. It is actually really, as a general manager, it is nice to watch that the young guys are responding and the old guys are, you know, there's no blame. They love the young guys, the energy they bring, and they're trying to help them along when they can.
Barry, we had Scott Wheeler from The Athletic on earlier today on the show. And last week we referenced this. Now we know where you guys fall. The Athletic has you guys, for what it's worth, number five in the prospect pool. And he had some really interesting things to say about Brady Martin, who he rates as the Predators' number one prospect. I'm wondering what you're seeing, and Adam put the question to him well. You know, we saw him early, three games in. We haven't really seen him since, other than the World Juniors where he got hurt, but you guys have watched him much closer. How do you think his development has gone from then until now?
Well, I think it's been up and down a little bit, and I would say because of the injury factor that's played into it. One thing that you saw the impact that he had with his junior team leading up to the World Juniors. You saw the tremendous impact that he had on Team Canada. He was sort of the lightning rod. He was the straw that stirred the drink a little bit for Team Canada, and he got injured in the tournament. And as soon as he got injured, the whole demeanor of Team Canada changed. And that tells me that you've got a player that has a unique quality and ability to bring something to the team that is a little bit unique. And then you're seeing it. Obviously, he had a shoulder injury for the people that that don't know out there. He missed a lot of time. He came back, I think, just trying to catch up to a little bit of a moving train. And then the playoffs started, and, you know, he's in on, you know, 75% of their scoring. They played a very good London Knights team, and he was targeted by the London Knights to physically and try to hit physically, emotionally, all the things to disrupt his ability to lead a team, and he came through and dominated in the series. You know, everybody I've talked to, not only from our club, but some other clubs that have seen him play in that series, said he was outstanding, and he's the guy. And I, when we drafted him, I used terms of sort of those Brian Trotche, that hard skill, Bobby Clark, that leader that can bring some physicality and has that sneaky skill. That is Brady Martin to me, and I hope I'm depicting him correctly for not only for our organization but for our fans. But in the early, you know, views of him at junior, at the elite level, at the, you know, U18s, at the World Juniors, and now in the OHL playoffs, all those things are starting to, I'll say, get clarified a little bit of some of the things that we felt about him.
Barry Trotz is with us. Barry, Zachary LaRue has had an opportunity to play on a line with Steven Stamkos and Ryan O'Reilly in recent games. How have you liked that fit, and do you see LaRue as someone who can complement your top skill players in the long term?
I think he will. I think he's still learning that game. Zach has a unique ability. He's mature in so many areas, especially his board play, his stick and penalty killing, his awareness in terms of, you know, especially when you're killing penalties, you have to have a feel of where the other players are, and then you're trying to manipulate things with your stick and angles, and he has a really good sense there. So there's a lot of maturity to his game in those areas. I would think on the offensive side, that will start to come a little bit more as he, hopefully transitions maybe from a, you know, when he comes up a lot of times, he's transitioned into that fourth line role. I'm hoping, I've seen in the past where a young player, and they're totally different, so though I'm not calling him or comparing him to this player in terms of the way they play, is Tom Wilson. When I was in Washington, he was on the fourth line and playing a game of sort of dump and chase and bang and, you know, try to create some turnovers and be on the plus side, bring in some physicality. And then you get an opportunity to play with better players. You sort of grow your game a little bit, learn to be a little bit more patient, and then work on your offensive game. And I think that'll come. I mean, Zach's a young player that hopefully that you get some more offense out of him. But I think it's great that the coaches have recognized that he can sort of complement some of those skill guys and spread the wealth out with other guys as well on other lines.
Before we let you go, Barry, two of the Predators' final five games are against the Anaheim Ducks, including tonight at the Honda Center. the Ducks have been going and have been undergoing a transition of their own in recent years. It seems to be bearing fruit now. Their top three scorers are 22 and younger. As you scout the Ducks, what stands out to you?
I think that is their high-end young players. I mean, Carlson and Cutter Gauthier and players like that. That high-end young talent, and you know, they've been drafting very well, and they've been drafting those high picks for a few years now, and they're starting to really see the transformation of their own team, of their young guys taking the next step, and they're creating a new core, if you will, just as we hope to do. And they're an exciting young team. They're fast. They're supplemented with some really good veterans, you know, the Criders and the Trubas and the Gudises of the world. Those are good pieces to surround your team. They've got some physicality and some size, and guys like Johnson and people like that. So they're a really good team. They're an up and coming team. They've got a lot of skill, a lot of speed. I know they've been going through a little bit of a downturn in terms of, I think they've lost two or three in a row here. And I know Joe Quenneville very well. They've had a few days off, so they'll be hungry. They'll be coming at us real hard. You know, we had a real, real hard game last night, and our guys will have to really dig in today against a very motivated and good team coached by a future Hall of Famer in Joel Quenneville.
How strange will it be for you to see John Carlson wearing an orange jersey?
It will be real strange. I always thought Carly was going to go. He was going to go the distance as a Washington Capital. It will seem really strange. I mean, I looked at I went down to see the coaches this morning before they had their meetings, and I saw his name up there, and I had to think twice that it was John. You know, because you're still thinking he's always a Washington Capital. So it will seem very strange that he will be wearing a Ducks uniform.
Predators.
And really, I was going to say, really, yes. People don't know John Carlson, really an underrated defenseman for a number of years. Never got the recognition he probably did, because he was a tremendous defenseman.
Yes.
And still is.
Yes. Barry Trotz, Predators GM, has been our guest on D-Mace. Vin Gnedonic, he joins us every Tuesday during hockey season, and he is presented by Green Ventures Landscaping and Gary Force Acura. Barry, as always, we appreciate your time. Enjoy the game tonight. Good luck.
All right. I appreciate it. Keep up the good work, and I know you'll stay up late tonight watching the Preds. It should be a real good game.
Absolutely. Thank you, Barry. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to what Barry Trotz had to say. But coming up next, Derek, I'm sorry, we're going to have to do this. We're going to have to talk about Michigan. I'm really sorry, Derek. Yeah, we have to.
Seriously?
I'm sorry. We're going to have to do it. Hey, you're Big Ten. Dominic.
I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy.
You sent me the thing today that said the Big Ten won
yes.
the men's title, the women's title, and
they
the
did.
Football championship.
They did. That's just for topics so we could. But I'm not celebrating because Michigan won.
We're going to do it. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.